You're on Sunday night on ABC Radio around Australia through Radio Australia and via the web to the world. John Cleary with you, and our guest now is Paul Handley, editor of the Church Times in the UK. Paul, welcome.
Thank you.
Paul, this evening we've been discussing, of course, this very day and the significance of it, 9/11. In Britain, it would, I guess, have been a top of the discussion list for much of the week.
It has indeed, and during the course of today, there have been a huge number of joint events, really. These are the ones that have really struck home between Muslims and Christians in many of the cities of this country.
The Christian-Muslim relations question is one we've been dealing with here today, and one of the aspects that's come out of that is this seems to get swept up quite often in a wider culture wars debate. It really, the religious issues get confused with the wider issues about cultural liberalism and conservatism and other things. It's very hard to disentangle.
Yes, I think that's very astute. What we see is very good personal relations, much better than 10 years ago, between the faith leaders. But when a cultural or ethical topic comes up, then that exposes just how much more talking there needs to be, really.
To the extent that Britain has moved in this area in a way which is useful for the rest of us, Rowan Williams has been quite significant in this area. He has tended to speak thoughtfully about it and attempt to make overtures which in some cases have been quite aggressively rebuffed by the British establishment, or it seems from those of us looking from afar.
I think that's right. The British public is led by... public opinion is led maybe by the shires a little more than people expect. So the suburban, comfortable class has the greatest say in the press. I think I'm not sure that's necessarily the case in the cities. And I think what Rowan Williams says about greater engagement with people whose faith is different than the traditional one here resounds more successfully in the cities and among younger people.
How is the discussion that was particularly focused on him some months ago with suggestions that some aspects of Sharia law could be looked at in the context of British civil law in the same way church law was looked at? And that suggestion, whenever it's raised, gets taken up by the popular press as if you're talking about separate sovereignties, etc. Has that debate played any further in the UK?
I think having seen the furore that was caused by relatively gentle remarks on the subject. It's a subject that every politician and statesman is avoiding like the plague. And I think Rowan was laying down some principles rather than saying that Sharia law in itself was necessarily a good thing. And the way it might run parallel with English law is not clear, and wasn't clear even when he spoke. So it's not a huge topic for public conversation at the moment.
Where then do things stand now? Would you say that in the last few months, particularly in the in view of the riots and other things, that the broader issue of Muslim-Christian relations is reaching a more mature plane in the UK?
I think the answer is yes and no. I mean, as I was saying, that the link between faith leaders is good, but the hold that faith leaders have over people in their community is not necessarily strong, and so there's certainly a feeling in this country that there are a large number of radicalized younger people whom it's difficult to engage with, and this is acknowledged even within the Muslim community.
You're on Sunday night. We're talking with Paul Handley, editor of the Church Times. Paul, I mentioned the culture wars earlier, another debate symbolic of the culture wars that raises itself on the Christian side very often is the abortion debate. And once again in the UK, that debate has taken place.
Yes, there was a proposal discussed in Parliament this week that a relatively modest proposal, because the public opinion is still in favour of allowing women the right to choose to have an abortion or not. The proposal was that the advice given to women considering abortion comes from an independent body. At the moment, the main source of advice is from abortion clinics. So although there are strict guidelines, et cetera, it's felt that a company or charity that provides abortion can't be trusted to dissuade people from taking that step. It's a huge subject and one that many people like to avoid because it's not a pleasant one. And of course, talking about it exposes many differences within the Christian Church. For example, the Anglican view on the state of an unborn fetus is different from the Catholic one. And we were talking about interfaith matters. Well, that's a huge other difference as well. So.
Yes, and of course, the very word independent becomes pejorative there too, because who is independent? That is, is a church group considered independent in this sort of context?
Funnily enough, that's exactly the point I'm making my leader this week. one could say that the advice given by an abortion clinic is certainly no less independent than given by a pro-life group, for example. So, I can't see it being possible to set up a very neutral body because everybody has a view.
Yes, the fact that you have a view places you somewhere in the spectrum.
Of course, yeah.
Zimbabwe has been an area of continued distress in the world. There are continued stories about Robert Mugabe's state of health and the state of the nation, but the Anglican Church faces particular difficulties at the moment with a sort of strange sort of expropriation going on.
Yes, I mean, the country has so many problems. The last thing they need is any sort of internecine war within the church. But the Bishop of Harare, the former Bishop of Harare, Norbert Kanonga, was deposed several years ago now for being, let's say, wayward and completely out of control, really. But he hasn't gone away and has laid claim to all the church property in his patch and slightly outside it as well.
That is, as his personal property.
As he has set up his own church, such, the problem is that under Mugabe, the judiciary and the police are on his side. So over the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've seen a number of parish priests being ejected from their victories. Already for some time we've seen congregations locked out of their churches. Occasionally they've been able to share them, but mostly they're now worshiping outdoors. And this week we heard of a parish priest who has been arrested for stealing the church property that he was priest of. It's a horrid and depressing business. And Rowan Williams is going to plunge straight into it because he's intending to travel there next month. So goodness knows what he's going to be able to do and who he might speak to.
Well, when we talk to you next month, we might pick that up. On a lighter note, it's been summertime in Britain, and of course summertime is festival time. One of the biggest festivals in Europe is the Christian festival known as Greenbelt.
That's right. It took place just over a week ago. It's hard to believe that it was so long ago because the church times goes there in force. And it is 3 days of, I think they've got 1,000, I think they reckoned 1,040 hours of programming crammed into 3 days, which when you've just got a handful of reviewers who are also trying to do things like eat and sleep, it's an impossible thing to review. It's music, it's speakers. They had Rob Bell from the States, they had John Bell from Scotland, huge numbers of speakers and bands. The women are very prominent this time, and they were talking about heaven a lot, what heaven might mean, which occasionally in the English countryside you get a glimpse of that, but it was also quite chilly and and Shari. So we had a glimpse of the other stuff as well.
Does a festival like Greenbelt follow any particular sort of doctrinal line? I mean, how do they get to do what they're doing in terms of not the artists can, I guess, do anything they want, but in the line of speakers? I mean, I guess would it generally be considered evangelical, reformed evangelical, or where does it fit in the spectrum and how do they work it?
Last year, they had, or was it the year before, they had Gene Robinson, the gay American bishop, to speak. And that act alone enabled various people in the church to state that they were now no longer evangelical or post-evangelical. It's an open forum. It takes people from... And the worship is quite astonishing, the range of worship. You go from Quaker worship to Goth Eucharists to... and we were standing outside and there was an incense-smoked procession going past in robes, the Roman Catholic Masses and so on. So it's heading towards undefinable, which doesn't mean to say that people don't have a go at it.
A religious supermarket, a Goth Eucharist. Now, that's something we look forward to seeing when it makes its way to Australia.
Not in my orbit. They're hard to spot. They tend to take place in the dark. And since everybody wears black, you don't see very much anyway.
Moving right along from the absurd to the ridiculous, there's been a marathon Bible reading. I understand somebody's tried to take on the Guinness Book of Records again.
Yes, you often have people or congregations who read the Bible from one end to another, but it's rare and I'd say foolish for one person to attempt to do the whole thing himself. But we had a reader down in Chichester, David Bathurst, who had a go last week. It would have entailed reading solidly for 5 days and nights with 20-minute intervals every 4 hours, but that's it. And he started on Wednesday, but by Friday he said things were starting to unravel. He was drifting in and out of consciousness.
The Bible does that to one.
Well, particularly the book of Jeremiah, which is what he was reading at the time, I think. And in the end, the medics were called, and being well versed in medical matters, they said, "Well, what you need is sleep, mate." So that was the end of the Guinness attempt. He went to the vestry and slept for 7 hours solid, and thus ruined his chances. But nonetheless, he carried on afterwards, and so he got to the end a few days later, but without the prize.
So Everest,
but raised some money for, yeah.
Everest remains.
That's right.
Paul Handley, great to talk to you. Thanks for spending the time with us today on a very busy day for you when you put the paper to bed for another month. So it's great to be with you. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.